Welcome to Season 4 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CalfRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and calf roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great.
You can expect training tips from the top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers.
I'm Hannah Wheeler, your calf roping host.
And I'm Lillian Kent, your breakaway host.
And this is The Breakdown.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Breakaway Breakdown. This is your host, Lillian, and today I have the distinct pleasure of bringing you two interviews from the NFBR, Average Champion Riley George and Breakaway World Champion Miss Taylor Munsell. We are going to kick things off with my chat with Riley. This interview was right there on the floor following the NFBR conclusion. She won the average with a total of 29 seconds even on 10 head and set a new aggregate record. She earned over $25,000 at the NFBR and did so on a borrowed horse that is owned by Jill Tanner. Following with the record theme is Miss Taylor Munsell. She earned a total of 209.21, which is a season earnings record. I gave Taylor a call after the dust had settled at the NFBR, so her interview is a little bit longer and probably more what you would expect from a podcast. We're about to dive in, but before we do, I need to give a big shout out to Roping.com for supporting today's episode. Roping.com has everything from breakaway to calf roping content, team roping content, and your favorite coaches, including Martha and Sarah Angeloni, Danielle Lohman, our newest world champion Taylor Munsell, and starting on Monday the 12th, a new series is releasing with Kelsey Domer and Jackie Crawford. I was there at the shoot for that one. It is going to be absolutely amazing, and I cannot wait for you guys to dig into that series. You'll hear a little bit more about this at the break, but for now, it's time to rope. Let's go.
Did you come in thinking I'm going to win the average?
I came in with a game plan. I knew these calves were stronger, so I rode a horse by Jill Tanner Owens for the first time. I actually ran a couple practice calves the day before. That was about all I've run on it before, and I just came in with a game plan, just try to catch every calf and make the best run that I can on every calf.
Okay, because Deputy is more of your short calf, go-around type horse. And what's this other horse that Jill's name?
His name's Bob.
Bob, okay. And he's just kind of a, I don't want to say a longer start, but he has a more gas to go get him?
Yeah, he's just honest. He never wants to take a throw away and gives you the same go pretty much every time. And Deputy, I rode him on two of the calves, and he does what he does, and he was great on both those calves.
Okay, so how are you picking between Deputy and Bob when you see what you draw?
We had one pin of calves that was a little slower than the first two, and so that slower pin, I decided to ride Deputy on two of them. And then the ninth row calf was a little stronger for that pin, so I decided to stay on Bob for that one.
Okay, perfect. And tell me how Bob works. You say he's real honest. He obviously hard running. How does he feel, different or similar to your horses?
Bob feels a lot like my bay horse, Royce. They're both kind of a little movie in the box. Never really sit still, but you know wherever they are, they're going to go and give you an honest go. They're never going to want to cheat you or take your throw away. They're winners. They just want to win.
Perfect. And how did that come about that you thought to ask Jill for that horse?
So I rode my bay the week before in Arizona, and he's been kind of sore, and he wasn't being like himself, and I knew that Jill had the black horse that was a lot like him, so I called and asked her if she would let me take him, and she said, of course.
I love it. And how does mount money work for that? Are you just going to give her a cut?
We haven't talked about that yet. We probably should have figured that out before, but I'm sure I'll give her some.
Yeah, you'll make sure it's right. Well, now you have an average championship out of it as well. How is Royce feeling? I know that you said he tweaked something and he's just resting up before the winter rodeos.
Yeah, he's good. I'm probably going to give him majority of the winter off and kind of keep him good for the summertime. He's mainly my summertime horse just because he stays honest out there when we don't get to practice.
Okay. So talking about the NFBR, tell me how you were feeling when it was moved out of Vegas.
I think everybody was a little bummed that it wasn't in Vegas, but moving to Cowtown, everybody, I think, knew it was going to be a good crowd and a good atmosphere, and just, it's fun because the Breakaway fans, they follow you wherever you go, and they make it a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so had you roped here quite a bit, just from rodeoing and Northside and fun stuff?
I haven't really roped here a ton. I've roped here for the women's finals a handful of times and a couple weekend rodeos that they have every weekend, but I haven't not been here in a long time, and so I was wishing I was going before when this all happened.
Yeah, yeah. So when you guys were doing that run-through and you saw that the calves were literally blasting down the pen, you were like, oh, we gotta go.
Yeah, the calves running through were a lot different than when the rodeo started, which was good. I think they were a lot more user-friendly than when we ran them through, but they turned out being good.
Okay. Talk me through your most memorable run out of all of them.
Probably my 10th round calf. I knew I just had to get the calf caught, and I took a good roll at that calf. That calf was just a great calf, and when I saw it go around his neck, I just smiled, I think, the whole time.
Yeah. What does winning this Average Championship mean to you?
It means the world, and I got a lot of people behind me that have helped me get here, between my parents, and I mean, I got a lot of friends that helped me a lot throughout the year all over the states, and you can't do it alone. It's just, I think this wins just for all of us.
Yeah. Did you have anybody in the box helping you this week?
I did. Bo Peterson was with me every run. She was actually following me on the 10th run. She was the next girl out and still got off her horse and went in the box with me. She was cheering me on the whole time.
Yeah.
We were just having a lot of fun. Bo was winning a lot of go-rounds, and I was just trying to stay in the average, and we had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Talking about your average win, people say, oh, well, Riley goes fast. Riley's the fast thrower, the go-round winner, and then you go and win the average. Are you trying to change it up on us?
You know what? I had a lot of fun last year winning the go-arounds, but this year I really wanted that average buckle, knowing that the world title was a little out of reach, so the average buckle was the second best thing, and I really wanted it this year.
Okay. Who do you want to say thank you to?
I just want to say thank you to my mom and my dad and my stepdad. They just keep me going down the road and keep me roping sharp, and Kim and David Key and Roxy and Rocco, I mean, they help me tremendously. They take care of the horses I leave behind, or they're getting one ready for when I get back. And Jill Tanner for lending me that horse. I mean, I could go on and on, but just everybody that helped me, I just appreciate them more than they know.
Sounds good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hey guys, I need to take a quick break from today's episode to tell you a little bit about roping.com. You can get access to roping.com's comprehensive library of content ranging from breakaway, calf roping, and team roping with coaches including Shad Mayfield, Caleb Schmidt, Justin Mass, Logan Harkey, and breakaway roping coaches including Larry D. Guy, Hope Thompson, the Angeloni sisters, Danielle Lohman, Kelsey Domer, Taylor Munsell, and now Jackie Crawford. You can also watch hundreds of hours of archived live events, including the Cinch Timed event, the Patriot, and the Ariat World Series in Las Vegas. Now, let's jump back into the episode. Well, hello, Taylor. I'm happy to hear that you're feeling a little bit better after the sickness snuck up and grabbed you after the holidays.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, luckily it waited until everything was over with.
Yes. Well, and, you know, this is the perfect time of year to get run down, especially considering, you know, being in Vegas with all the germs, and then you guys were running all over the country for breakaway things. So glad it waited.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
Okay, so what's on the docket here in the next few weeks? I know we have the rescheduled Prairie Circuit finals, but I don't recall quite when that is.
Yes, so those are rescheduled into January in Pawhuska. For me, it goes San Diego, California for the rodeo at the Padres Stadium. That is, I believe it's like the 17th and 18th, and then the next weekend after that, I'm up at Fort Worth, Sunday, Monday, and then the next weekend will be the Prairie Circuit Finals. So, yeah, not too long, and things get very busy again.
Okay, so you're just getting over your little bug and keeping the horses legged up and hit it hard again.
Yes, yeah. I actually, all my good horses, I give them, as soon as we got home from the finals, I've given them a break, and I just got start exercising them again today and getting them in shape and rode, and then start roping some on them.
Yeah, so they got like 2 weeks off-ish.
Yeah, not quite as long as I would have liked for them to have, but at least they got a little time off.
I know, but you have such a great team of horses that, you know, if one of them is needing a break, you have enough horses that you can ride something else.
Yeah, yep, for sure. And yeah, I didn't have to take much of a break as far as practicing, because I still have Goon and the new little horse Vegas, so I was able to rope on them the whole time while my others were getting a little bit of rest.
Right. So we have Ray, Colonel, Monster, Goon, and Vegas.
Yes.
Okay, that's quite the string. Are you just collecting
Yeah.
them at this point?
Kind of that way, yeah.
You're
It sure
like,
seems like
I just like the good ones, I guess. I'll just make some more.
Yeah, they've all kind of got their spot right now, so it works out well. But Monster and Ray are both getting older, so it is kind of nice to have some younger ones that are coming in that I'll build a jackpot on and get with before I have to worry just about going straight to pro rodeos with them.
Yes, for sure. You could always pull out Monster if it was a closer one, and Ray obviously, you know, won Reno on him last year, so he can still
Yeah,
handle the
I
good
know. That's
stuff.
what we said. He said even if I retired Ray this year, he'd still have to go to Reno.
Oh, I know, because
He's
he's done well at
back-to-back champ.
Reno.
Yeah, that's kind of his jam. But
Yeah.
yeah, it's kind of nice. It makes for having a lot of horses right now to keep up with, but it is nice to have them kind of overlapping where I'm not forced to haul one that I didn't feel quite ready to haul.
Right. And I saw that Goon got some reps. I think you posted that he went to a ranch rodeo.
Oh yeah, he did. He went to a ranch rodeo. We actually won the ranch rodeo, and he did really good.
Oh my
But I think
gosh.
after all that excitement, he was like, "Okay, maybe this rodeo and stuff ain't so bad. It's not near as scary as I thought it was."
Oh, okay. I was wondering, you know, if he thought that after being a ranch rodeo horse, he thought breakaway was pretty easy and he's being more grateful for his job.
He is, I think. He's much thankful for the event that takes about 3 seconds versus us taking about 2 minutes to do the doctoring.
Right. He's like, what is going on? Well, we talked about what's coming up. We talked about horses, but the reason I called you today is to talk about your 2025 Breakaway World Championship. Has it really sunk in yet?
It's definitely it has now. It took a little bit at first. It was so fast, it seemed like, we were running around so much and we were kind of run down by the end of the finals, and then we went straight into Christmas that it kind of kept us pretty busy. But it definitely has now. It's pretty exciting and I'm obviously very thankful for it, but it does also make me pretty excited to get the new year going.
Well, you even said in your winter interview, you were like, that was great, that was fun, but the new year has already started. The new season's already
Yeah.
going, which is insane.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, that's what I definitely don't give you too much time to just like sit with it and relax. You kind of get hooked back up for the new year, which is that's what this is all about. Kind of it's how it is for everybody in this world of rodeo.
In the world of rodeo, the one that you picked out of all
Yeah.
the places. I like it. Well, and even the way the NFBR is set up, I mean, we've talked about it previously. There's not a whole lot of time to readjust and recalibrate and change, you know, if you wanted it to change your swing or tweak something or tweak equipment. I mean, it's like kind of NASCAR pit stop back there, I'd imagine.
Yes, it is so fast, and it's hard to like even if you do discuss like with your help or something, or you discuss changing something in between runs, you're going so fast to get ready again and get back down the arena and like run another one that almost kind of it's easy to like black out and forget what you just talked about you're going to try to do different because you don't
Oh,
get to put very much
100%.
time into the thought process of it.
Yeah. It would be really cool to be able to space it out, even to 3 nights like Kimes does. But that's
Yes.
just something that's going to have to happen with, you know, location, sponsors, schedule, all those fun things that I feel like
Oh, yeah.
people like to complain, but then they don't always think about all the logistics that have to go with it.
Yeah, there's so much. I learned through this whole move with us having to move last minute and stuff, and talking to a lot of people that are on the boards. in the WPRA and the PRCA and just everywhere. Like, there's so much more that goes into it than we ever have any idea of.
And something that I've learned kind of as gotten to know the ladies at the WPRA over there a little bit better, and Anne and them, is the level of effort that they put in. You know, even if it's not as good as it can be yet, they dang sure are trying.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it's so easy to argue like, well, they should have done it this way or they should have done it that way. But if you really look at it, you can see it from both points of view. So, you know, unless you're the one in that position, it's kind of hard to judge anybody on it.
For sure. Well, we try our best. So started off in the winter rodeos, obviously won Houston. Talk to me a little bit about your experience at Houston in 2025 and, you know, maybe how it was different than previous years.
Yeah. I, for my pro rodeo career, every year I think I got a little bit better, but my first few years pro rodeo, and I could just not get it going in the winter for some reason. So this year I felt like I had a way better mindset going into it and stuff. And it's kind of hard to say, but I almost have to credit that to how bad my NFBR went the year before. Every year that the finals ended good, I kind of was like, oh, it's just good. And I kind of left things the way they were. But after the 2024 finals going so bad, it was easy for me to go home and be like, we need to work on this and this and this, and like really put the time and effort into working on those things in my horse and just a lot of things that I feel like I just gotten a little lax on and just slowly over time had affected me, and it all come out, unfortunately, at the finals that year. So I definitely come home. I did a lot of slow work, a lot of pin work, a lot of work on myself. And it, I think, definitely showed in the winter rodeos that year. I rode my horse so much better and I roped so much better. And then obviously confidence through the winter rodeos, the few rodeos we went to before Houston, and then Houston, I just had a tremendous amount of confidence going into that rodeo in my rope and my horse.
I like it. And I don't specifically remember how the NFBR went for you in 2024. What about that performance were you not satisfied in?
I caught 2 out of 10 Kevs.
Oh, yep. That would do it.
Yeah. So I was 20% catch rate there. And that kind of was the, like, I don't know, the mental, like, hey, you're not there yet. You haven't gotten there. You still need to be putting in a little more work than what you have been doing. Mm-hmm. Obviously was practicing and everything and doing the things, but maybe not being as mental with my practices as I need to be, like, about what exactly I was trying to accomplish every practice, and kind of got to go and just through the motions.
Mm-hmm. It's like, as the youth say, that get locked in or not.
Yeah. So that definitely did a lot of that. And then just doing, I mean, right by Colonel, he's so athletic that I definitely have to do things right on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned that in your winner interview at the NFBR this year, which was a 180 from your performance last year.
Yes.
But just talking about how feely he is and how athletic he is, and changed up some bits on him, which I want to talk about later. But just a big, strong horse with a lot of training on him.
Yes. Yeah. He is so strong and so athletic, and he doesn't ever do anything that you don't tell him to do, but he is so feely that sometimes you're telling him to do things that you don't really want him to do. So it's definitely keeping him, like, for sure knowing his job. He's always thinking maybe a little too far ahead sometimes, mm-hmm. and trying to guess what you're wanting him to do versus just kind of doing what he's supposed to do. So there's a lot of just making sure, like, he's running all the way to his spot and he's staying moving through my throw and let me get my slack before he finishes and stuff like that. Last year before Houston, I did a whole bunch of pin roping on him, and I thought that that was what helped him the most, more so than just making actual runs.
Yeah. So just keeping him freed up and thinking forward and really keyed into you on everything.
Yes. Yeah. And that is one thing, he stopped so hard that I've come to the conclusion, and with the help of talking to other people and stuff, that, like, stopping isn't our biggest worry. Obviously I want him to be rating the calf, going to the calf. I don't want him just running wide open. But as far as, like, finishing and cutting it off, I don't make very many runs where I ask him to do that anymore.
Yeah, because he's going to lock it down when it
Yeah,
comes
he
time.
knows. He knows.
I
Yeah, he
like
knows when
it.
it's time.
I like it. Okay, so moving through Houston, you mentioned that, Houston, there's like that curse of you win Houston, you don't win the world, but you refuse to let that be your mindset in your 2025.
Yeah, so that was something that I had obviously like kind of noticed, and then I've had a couple people like mention it and stuff. Not talking down on me obviously at all, but like saying that they thought I'd be the one to break it and stuff, and I was like, I cannot let this little thing define me, because then it's going to go on to affect the others that come after me, and that wasn't something I wanted to happen. So yeah, that was definitely a big driving force.
You're like, I have something
I
to work for here.
did not want that to become a real thing where there was a Houston curse in the breakaway roping.
Well, and you mentioned that you kind of try to break superstitions just in general.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of them generally. If I catch myself being a little superstitious about stuff, I usually try to intentionally make myself break that habit.
Like pay fees with a $50 bill or
Yes. Yeah. Especially if things are not going good, then I'm like, well, what's the point of doing all this stuff? So then I will enter with 50s, and I'll do things, rope with money in my pocket and all the things like that. Just to kind of like prove a point to myself when I feel myself start to get worried about things like that. 'Cause I don't want to ever be like about to ride in the box and be like, oh my gosh, I have $20 in my pocket. I'm not going to win no money now.
Oh my gosh. It's really interesting how those all came about.
Take
That
one
could be a whole
zone.
side quest one day, but it's fun. I like how you kind
Chasing
of
for one
challenge
seat.
the status quo like that and see if you can break it.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving throughout the spring, nothing's really coming to mind. I know you won Reno. Can you kind of talk to me about that in between before Houston to the summer run?
Yeah, it was good to me. I won quite a bit at circuit rodeos. I took Monster a whole week on some rodeos that were circuit rodeos and co-approved, and I won Durant, I won Mount Pleasant, and I placed at Hugo and stuff, and got a really good jump on the circuit rodeos riding Monster, which is always fun. Get back on my old van and get a haul him and kind of actually go rodeo on him. And then things just kind of stayed steady going into everything out to Reno. And then I didn't have a good 4th of July. I don't think I won any money over the 4th of July, honestly. It's never that good to me. Which is now our new thing that we need to break. We got the winter rodeos, kind of that stuff figured out. So now we need to figure out the 4th of July run a little bit more. But I do have a game plan for that this year going into it. And so we'll see how it goes this year. But yeah, things were the only real downtime I felt like I had was the 4th of July, because then we went to Calgary and that was good to me. And things just kind of stayed steady all year.
Calgary seemed like it was such an electric rodeo.
Yeah, it was so cool to be a part of, and it was very easy to, just be thankful for getting to be there and getting to experience it on that level. It was definitely a cool one.
Well, and I was running through money, even if somebody finished second, third, fourth, you still are coming away with, over $10,000. You won your pool or placed in your pool a few times, and you could rack it up there.
Yeah, I want to say that in my pool, I think I won like 11,000 or something, and I didn't even advance on to rope again. So like you could win so much money there.
Definitely a big hitter. So, I want to talk about your 4th of July a little bit. What about it previously do you think hasn't clicked for you yet?
It's just like the one headers, and most of them are so fast, and I get to kind of almost like what I did at Kimes this year in the first day of the NFBR, of trying to go too fast, and instead of just kind of like doing me and seeing where we play. So I'm not one that likes to just be too slow, so I have a tendency to try to go too fast.
Well, it's hard when you're an aggressive athlete who wants to win and you get to doing literally too much. Like, just letting it flow is so hard sometimes.
It is. It really is. But that's kind of the main goal for those rodeos. All those one headers over the fourth. Generally, kind of the average rodeos are where I kind of do good throughout that time of the year because I kind of go back to just doing my job and not trying to do too much at those. So
Okay.
we've now noticed it and now we know what it is. We're going to work on fixing it this year.
Yeah, I really like that. Okay, so coming into kind of the fall time, at this point, both Josie and Shelby had kind of started creeping up on you, which I think we were all like, holy cow, there is this much money to be won in the breakaway. Like, people are putting in the work. You know, you'd had that lead because Houston gave you the big boost, but I mean, everybody was really roping well, winning a pile of money, and you know, like I said, coming up behind you to kind of, you had said in an interview, kind of continue motivating you as we move throughout the year.
For sure. Shelby won like, oh my gosh, what was it, like 79,000 or something in a one
Yeah,
week
at
and went from like
Calgary.
14th in Colorado Springs. She won both, and she went from like 14th to second in the world, I think. Like a
It was
huge
something
jump.
insane, yeah.
It was a ton of money, and there's just so much money. Obviously, Josie, she wins a ton of rodeos throughout the year, and she won several good rodeos as well. But yeah, definitely, those there's a so many girls that don't ever let you back down, but those two girls are definitely very fierce competitors, and they kept me on my toes.
Yeah, kept you pushing through the end, and then we kind of had that scramble with the EHV, made everybody kind of take a forced pause and recalibrate, and it was weird with everything being rescheduled. We had Kimes.
Well, it was Vegas and then Kimes and then the NFR. So for us, a lot of it didn't change because we went from Kimes to the NFR and we had one day in between. The only difference was instead of driving 4 hours, we were driving like 16 hours.
Yes, I remember the evening of Kimes. You guys were, oh, we're leaving tonight. We're leaving tonight. We're driving all night. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? It doesn't start for a day or two. And it's like, no, we got to get there and like check in.
Yeah,
And
we had to be there Sunday,
I
which for me
was.
wasn't hard because I was done after 2 days at Cannes. But for a lot of them, yeah, they had to hustle.
And was there that moment when Kimes didn't go how you wanted that kind of dinged your confidence, or were you kind of just like, oh, that didn't work out, off we go?
Obviously, it was a bummer because that place, everything they do for us, and the amount of money there, you don't want to have a Cannes like I did. But I will say that afterwards, I was frustrated for sure with how I'd competed, but I was like, I wasn't letting it me affect how I was gonna compete at the finals. Because we got back, my aunt and uncle, they came down early to Texas, brought my horses, so I knew I was gonna get a run some on them beforehand. And that was like well, that sucked, but at least I get to go get some practice runs in and kind of get my confidence back on the practice pin.
And was it more of that more slow work, or were you trying to blast them at home and kind of get that feel for how it was going to be in the NFBR?
No, I mean, it was mostly just for my horses. And so they had changed Kevs on us, I think, 5 days before the NFBR due to the original Kevs not being able to make it to Texas. So, also that with the Kevs being changed, I wanted to ride both Monster and Colonel and for sure make a decision on what horse I was planning to ride at the finals.
Well, and those were the tie down calves from the NFR, and I don't know what they'd been feeding them, but they were running.
They were
And
very strong.
yes, and in a small little building like the Cowtown Coliseum, I'm sure you guys had to be hitting the starts, you know, bang on to make it work.
So after the run through, it was we ran the very first couple Kevs that got run, and the run through it was pretty easy to make the decision to ride Colonel. But I'd actually already made it during the practice. It was kind of made sense that that was the horse I needed to ride and stay on.
Well, and you know, first day of NFBR was not perfect. But you were definitely still in the mix coming into day two as far as the world race. It just got a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
But you had talked about how you, again, were able to kind of recalibrate and stay focused. And that's something that I think is so, number one, so awesome, but also so difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely was frustrated after the first day, and I think you should be, if that's the way you competed the first day. There definitely should be some frustration there, but it's just to not let it affect you going into the next day, you know? Like, you have to make sure you get over it and don't let it affect you going into the next day.
Mm-hmm. And I remember I was out in the back with you, and I said, you know, you took the tie down off a kernel, which is something that I kind of wanted to touch on a little bit more, because you are somebody who will, I feel like, change things around quite a bit when something's not working, whether it's a bit or a tie down, and you'll take the tie down off a kernel quite a bit.
Yes, I do. The reason I had originally had it on him was just the calves were kind of wild and the chute and stuff, and the box had a little bit of movement in it, and he didn't really love that, and he was a little movie in the corner, so I just thought the tie down was a good thing to start with, and I don't think the tie down affected him any from the first day to the second day, but he doesn't need it, and it's just kind of a mental thing for him to know it's there. It's so long, it doesn't even really do anything, but I definitely do think that the second day was just, you could just tell there was a whole difference about my demeanor, which I think reflected in my horse the second day.
Just like this quiet confidence of like, we're about to go crush this.
Yeah, we had no other option. It was either we were going to do it or we were going to go out swinging the second day, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the quotes that I loved from your interview. You said, you know, I'm not going to win the world. Basically, being meek, I'm going to win the world swinging for the fences.
Yes, I mean, and I definitely, yeah, that was a big deal for me, is I just wanted to kind of, I wanted to end the year confident in myself, not disappointed.
Mm-hmm. I like it. And so took the tie down off of Colonel and you put him in a lighter bit, I remember you saying. Was it just like a kind of a straight mouthpiece or jointed port?
So I went from a square hinge port that I've rode on him a bunch to it was a brand new bit I'd just gotten from Tom Palmer, which he also made the square hinge point that I was riding. Mm-hmm. But it was a new bit I'd gotten from him. I'd rode on Colonel like twice, once before going to Kynes and then once right like when we come back from Kynes, and I practiced on him and I rode it on him, and it was just a floating port real. I ride it pretty loose on him with a loose chin strap, and just not, there's not a lot of bite there at all.
Mm-hmm. So is it kind of like a little spade that floats in the middle?
It's a port, but it's just, I don't even know how to fully explain it. It's like not, yeah, it's loose on the bars. It's kind of connected with little rings versus being like an actual correction bit. Mm-hmm. The port just kind of floats in their mouth and they can kind of hold it however they like.
Yeah, kind of gives them something to play with if they wanted.
Yes.
But I was going to say, like, you taking your tie down off, you said that, you know, he doesn't really need it. It didn't really change anything, but it kind of goes back to your superstition beliefs. You know, if something's not working, you're going to like throw it all away and say, you know, I'm going to change it up because, you know, I can handle whatever. And this superstition isn't going to change something for me.
And with that horse, I just know that horse, like, I mean, it didn't matter what headgear you put on him, like, I know he can work out standing in anything. So there was people that are like, why are you riding a tie down on him and stuff, and so I was just like, well, I'll just take it off then, we'll just fix it, just won't ride one.
Yeah.
And I don't think that had much to do with how he worked the first day or how what happened the first day at all, but I mean, I will say he felt 100 times better the second day.
Yeah, but that, you know, goes back to what you said about your demeanor being different, because I think so much of our energy and our intentions channels down into them.
Yes.
So you had said that you were not doing the math as the finals went. You were just kind of going to do the best you could, rope the best you could, and win as much money as you could. Yes. When did you know that you had the world one?
When they announced my name after it was over.
Oh, wow. So you like caught your last calf and you didn't even know if that was enough?
I didn't know, no.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So they held you in the back there and, you know, dark house spotlight from Alba, Oklahoma.
I was unbooting my horse. So I guess I was unbooting my horse and stuff like that. And then they come back and they grab me and they're like, hey, we need you up here. And I was like, what for? And they're like, you won the world. And I was like, that was when I knew. So when they come and grab me, which was right before they announced me in the arena.
Oh, wow. I can't even imagine the emotions, especially knowing how many of your friends and family were there. I mean, that place was packed.
Yeah, I had a huge, huge, huge group of supporters there. That is for sure. And I think most of them knew. I guess a lot of them were obviously doing the numbers in the stands and stuff. And also, I guess it was announced maybe on Cowboy Channel before in the arena.
Okay.
So it had gotten announced on Cowboy Channel. People that were at home watching were texting my family, like, congratulations and stuff.
Oh.
So they all knew, I guess, before I did. I guess I was, like, the last person to find out.
Well, it's okay. You found out eventually and got the world champion saddle and all the goods that go with it. Where are you putting the saddle in your house?
Right now, it is sitting right in front of the TV.
Perfect place for it.
Yeah, it hasn't been moved yet. It's sitting on a rack right in front of the TV.
Is there ever, you know, a moment you think you'll throw it on Colonel and just let him wear it for the sake of wearing it? You don't have to ride it, but...
Yeah, we've talked about it. I haven't yet, but I do have plans to, obviously... I think he should get a see what it fits like once at least.
That is so cool. I love it. And he's been such a big part of your journey and a line of horses that have all done a lot for you. You know, Monster, Ray, now we have Colonel, you have more coming up, and they've all played a different and unique part.
Yes. Yeah. They've all been a huge part in it. I mean, there's not one piece of the puzzle that wasn't needed to get me here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pretty fun. Get to look back on it and reflect. But now it's 2026 and we got to go again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So how are you getting ready for these next few events coming up? We have San Diego first.
Obviously just right now, the main deal is to get my horses in shape again. They didn't have too much time off, so they obviously aren't out of shape, and they were getting turned out so they could run around on their own accord. But start getting them in shape, and then I can't honestly say I know for 100% sure what horse I'm riding at San Diego. Mm-hmm. But the plan is to ride Colonel at Fort Worth, and then hopefully Monster Man will get to go to the circuit finals.
I like it. Yeah, I don't know anything about the setup at San Diego. I would assume that it would be on the shorter side, but you don't really know when it's in a stadium like that.
Yeah, it's been very fast the last 2 years, but it's changed too. Like they went from the first year whenever I did good out there, they went from one end, and then last year when we went out there, they had turned it around and the boxes were running the other way. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will be a fast setup, but it could be the arena could be different too than what we're used to. So
yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun.
Yes, it is fun. It is a lot of fun.
I know the baseball stadium rodeos are picking up steam. I forget who said it, but they said kind of this is going to be the next big thing in rodeo with, you know, the Hondo, and we have the American San Diego. It just seems like it's multiplying a little bit.
Yes, it is. And they are also fun and unique, and it does give it a different spin for the contestants, but also for the fans, kind of
a different
spin on rodeo.
Get to put it in a familiar place, and then usually throw a huge concert at the end, which just gives a bigger draw for people to come see what rodeo is all about.
Yes, for sure. And it helps draw in a lot of people that normally wouldn't come, and then they come and they enjoy it, and I get a lot of that with the places I've been to that... They came for the concert and then actually ended up really enjoying the rodeo.
Yes, that's so fun. I love it. It makes me excited. Okay, well, I think that wraps it up for me. Obviously, we could have talked about your year for forever. There's so many little parts of it, but I feel like we touched the high points and gave some background to your very first world championship.
Yes. I mean, it's been so fun and I love talking about it.
Yeah. You're like, all the things I did to get here, all the grinding, all the work,
all the good and the bad.
Yes. Yes. I'm about to do it all again. Okay. Well, I will catch you later. I really appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Okay, guys, thank you for joining me on the latest episode of the Breakaway Breakdown. I really enjoyed talking to both Briley and Taylor about their big wins. I know these were huge sources of pride for both of these women, and they worked so hard for these accomplishments. And I am just thrilled to get to bring you guys these stories. Special thanks again to Roping.com for supporting today's episode. And remember, you can learn from Taylor Munsell, Kelsey Domer, and Jackie Crawford all on Roping.com. All right, guys, this is Lillian signing off for the final time on the Breakaway Breakdown. I am transitioning to the Horse and Rider team and will continue making amazing content over there, while my coworker Hannah, who does the tie down breakdown, will continue holding things down in rodeo land. Don't you worry, the team is growing, things are good, and we are so thrilled to continue bringing you the best stories in rodeo.